Thanks, Dan. I just want to encourage you during the meetings with Randy Amos. It's going to be an interesting study, I'm sure. And Randy, as you know, God has gifted him in teaching the Word of God and taking things from the Old Testament and simplifying them so that you can understand and make things very practical in our daily life. So I want to encourage you to come out and support the meetings, and I'm sure the Lord will bless you for it. Also, just a rant, Neil reminded us that Ed Sauer had passed away. Some of you know Ed, and funeral arrangements, I guess, will be made mention as they come along. And Luke chapter 9. Some time ago, I looked at the subject of discipleship, and I've been pondering through some of the scriptures concerning some of the thoughts, and I just want to look perhaps in a little different avenue in a subject that is seen in Scripture, presented in the Word of God, I find in my life fall so short. When we think of the image that we are to show forth in our life day by day, I'd like for us to focus upon the image that we are to reflect to the world in which we're living. And the image in our life, what kind of an image do we reflect? And I'd like for us to look at that for just a few moments. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to all, "If any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I've been thinking about this verse and rehearsing it in my mind sometimes through the day, and this verse has so much depth to it, and it speaks so much that the Lord Jesus speaks to all, to everyone around him, no one excluded, to anyone and everyone that were there. That if anyone, as he looked over the crowd of people, he said, "If any will come after me and deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." If you want to come after me, this is what you have to do. And you know, the image that we present to the world depends on how we follow. We come to him and follow after him. If we truly know him as our Savior, and if he's truly Lord of our life, then we will reflect the image that God wants us to reflect in our life day by day. But many of us really don't really know him as we ought. And I'm speaking of myself. How well do we really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul's desire was that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The first thing is we need to know him in order to have the proper image to reflect in the world in which we're living. you've heard the phrase, don't do, or do as I say, not as I do. And some people don't fully recognize that the reflection of what we do that is far more emphatic than what we say. The words that we see here, let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny ourselves? Before I go into that, I just want to say that we're to know him. But you know, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow and predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son. He foreknew, God foreknew, he knew us. He predestined even before the foundations of the world to be conformed to the image of his dear son. He knew us even before the foundations of the world. But we need to know him. We need to come to him. To know him. We're to deny ourselves. What does it mean to deny himself? How can we deny ourselves? I think the thought that I've been thinking about anyway in these few words, and perhaps you may have a different thought on this, but you know, it's the weakness of ourselves, isn't it? In ourselves, we're weak. Man is weak. When we recognize the weakness of man, then we recognize the strength of God. When we recognize that how weak we are within ourselves, then we can truly see the strength of God. But man often wants it the opposite, don't they? Man says you've got to be strong within yourself. It's what you can do. It's the power that you have, and so on. But it's not so according to the Word of God, is it? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now notice the thought here is the wisdom and might of man compared to the wisdom of God and the power of God. There can be no comparison. God is far greater. There were those who were turning to the wisdom of man and the might of man. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The very foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. The very weakness of God is stronger than the strength of any man. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, God is looking for a man, a woman who is truly recognizing their weakness before God and recognize they're nothing before him, but he's everything. It's his power and his strength that we're to depend upon. It's not of ourselves. If it was of ourselves, then we could glory in the flesh. But Paul says, it's the power of God that we glory in, so that no flesh, no one in the flesh, nothing in man's works and what they can do, can exalt against the glory of God. It can be nothing that can be compared to the might and the power in the glory of God. And so Paul writes, as the weakness of man in himself recognizes the power and the strength of God that can be evidenced in one's life. The word image, as Paul says, and I wanted to sort of go off of that thought in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that we might be conformed to the image of his dear Son. The image. What's an image? You see in a coin, an image, a picture of a president. It's just the image, isn't it? You see a statue, it's just an image. Not the real person, but it's an image of that person. And a coin bears the imprint of that person. And you know, that's the thought that is presented of the fact that God wants us to be conformed, to be made in the likeness, to be changed, to be molded into the image of his dear Son. Man in himself, we recognize that we are weak in ourselves, then can we know the strength of God. And it's only by the strength and the power of God can we follow him. If we realize our weakness and we realize his strength, then we can follow him. And I think it's an underlying principle that we see in the Word of God. You know, there's the image that we bear of the earthly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And speaking there, the first man being Adam, and the second man being the Lord Jesus Christ. He's from heaven. As is the earthly, such is also that are earthly. And as it is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. For this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. There's an image that is earthly we inherited through Adam. And that's the image of sin that came into this world. It's an image of death that we inherited through Adam. But there's an image of heavenly made in which Paul is referring to being conforming to his image. That heavenly image after the Lord Jesus Christ is the image that we get the moment we're saved. We're brought into the heavenly image. We're born the moment we're saved, the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're brought into the heavenly image through Him. The image of Adam brought death. The image of the Lord Jesus brought life. And you know, that's the image that God wants us to continually, through spending time in His Word and daily meditation with Him and gathering with believers and encouraging one another and edifying one another and the work of the Spirit of God in our life day by day, depending on Him, can we bear that image in such a way that it will grow day by day and deeper relationship with Him as we follow Him. And I've been thinking about some of those thoughts that we see in light of the fact that unless we truly commit ourselves and depend on Him, and so often we depend on what we do, but we need to depend on Him, what He can do in our life. He's foreknew, He's predestined. Before even the foundations of the world and before time, He's looking ahead to those that would be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And that's what He wants as we follow Him. That's what He wants to see. You know, I've heard the expression, people say that, you know, he or she is strong in their faith. I sort of felt this, something wasn't quite right about that phrase. Someone can be strong in faith, not in their faith. If I was strong in my faith, then I'm very weak. I'm very, very weak. See, it's not my faith. There's nothing I can do to make my faith in myself stronger, but it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Was said of Abraham that as Abraham believed God, his faith was increased. But it was only through Him. It's nothing that I can do or that you can do to increase your faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and it's faith that is produced through the Word of God and being taken up with the Lord Jesus and getting to know Him. Can we increase our faith? And the Lord Jesus reminded us in the last days when He comes on earth that the faith will be very weak. Will He find faith on the earth when He comes? Because He knows faith is going to be weak. And in the last days in which we're living, true faith found in the Lord Jesus Christ, our dependence on Him, and the expression of the radiance of His of faith can only increase by spending time with the Lord Jesus and in His Word. And seeking by the grace of God and through His strength that our image might be conformed to His Son. And that's our ultimate goal, that we might bear His image in such a way that others, and desire to have what we have, he or she has something that is different. Something that I really need in my life and that I really want. And that's the difference. You see, if we deny ourselves and recognize our weakness, then we can depend on His strength and we can go forth and live for Him. You see, if we don't stand for something, someone has said, we'll fall for anything, won't we? You see, if we're weak and we're depending on ourselves, we'll only fall for anything. We truly won't stand for the strength that God wants to give in our life. There's a number of illustrations. I was thinking of the rich man who had great abundance, was strong within himself, and he says, I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to make all this money and so on. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, he was strong within himself, and that's what he depended on. But you remember Zacchaeus, when the Lord Jesus came by and he went up into the sycamore tree and he wanted so desperately to see the Lord Jesus. But remember when the Lord Jesus saw him and he came down, when the Lord Jesus spoke to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And it was at that time that Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was a rich man. He was a Pharisee who was well known, and he was a rich man. But you see, when he accepted the Lord as his Savior, he was no longer strong within himself. He recognized he was simply weak. And he said, now, if I've taken anything from anyone, I'll restore them fourfold. You see, he was a humbled man. He became weak and recognized his strength meant nothing. But he saw that the Lord meant everything. And he had touched his heart. The Lord Jesus touched his heart. And his heart became soft, and he saw his own weakness before God. And now he was ready to give. I'll give to anyone that I've taken anything from fourfold. You see, Zacchaeus' life was changed. He didn't look at the things for himself. He was looking on the things of others and how he needed to make restitution according to the law. But you see, that's what God does in a life, doesn't he? He shows man his weakness and that God is the strength. He couldn't do it within himself. But only through God could he make that turn in his life and recognize the wrong that was done and make restitution. You see, that's what salvation is all about, isn't it? And that's what's recognizing man's weakness and God's strength is all about. I think of David. They went to get him out in the hillside watching the sheep. David was just a shepherd boy. He was not a great warrior, a great man, a soldier. He was just a shepherd boy there tending sheep. The difference was that God was with him. And as he looked at the fact that Saul has chosen me to be the man to defeat Goliath, and as David came and as they armored him full armor to go out and to fight the Goliath, David says no. He takes off the armor and all that, simply takes his sling and goes out and crosses the brook, picks up 5 stones and goes out, and by the grace of God, he defeats the warrior, the enemy, Goliath. But you see, David recognized his weakness and he depended upon the strength of God. And God caused him to be victor over the enemy. You see, it's recognizing our weakness and depending on His strength. It's something that takes many, it's nothing that happens overnight. It's a struggle within our life. And recognizing our own weakness, because in our nature, we have a nature that wants to be strong. The nature through Adam wants to be strong. And it's a battle to recognize in humility that we're to be weak within ourselves. And it's at that time that God can show us His strength. It's something that as we grow in the Lord, and as we face this struggle, that we need to constantly before God and, Lord, help me to know my weakness, that Your strength might be made evident to me. We have a number of illustrations of men who started out with God. Men who prospered with God but depended upon Him and knew their weakness and depended upon God for strength. But you know, as time went on, they became strong within themselves, and they became weak before God and fell into sin. I'm just going to read a portion in 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. I've been reading through in my devotions. In 2 Chronicles 26, King Uzziah, in verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And he did. He prospered, and he was great in inventions and many things. But notice, for the sake of time, in verse 15, the last part of the verse, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Began the downfall of Uzziah. In verse 16, and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth, and had an incense in his hand to burn the incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. What a sad picture of a man who began in his dependence on God, recognizing his weakness. But then he became puffed up within himself, and the pride of his heart came to his own destruction. He felt he became strong in himself. He became a popular man and became strong. Goes into the sanctuary, the office of the priest, and thinking that as a king, I'm so powerful that the kingship has to be divine. It has to be. And he goes in to offer incense on the altar. And God says, no, the priest was ordained of the Levites and not by the kingship. The Lord Jesus was the only one who was prophet, priest, and king. And Uzziah was smitten with leprosy until the day of his death. A man who ended up in his own strength to destruction. You know, the Lord Jesus is the one that we're to know. And if we truly want to know strength, we need to know him. Get to know him. Have Paul's desire that I might know him. To recognize that our weakness in the flesh, that we're weak, that there's nothing within ourselves that we can do to bring upon us the strength that we need. It's only through God's strength and recognizing our weakness and depending on him can we know day by day what it is to grow stronger in him. Paul says in Thessalonians, finally, therefore, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not our might, not in any way that we can provide any strength within ourselves, but it's totally depending on him. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Taking the word of God and recognizing his strength is what we need in times of weakness.